Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. The Money Doc was waiting patiently there. John Lowe, who is from moneydoctors.ie. John, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Niall. First of all, many congratulations on your 12 years of magnificent success. You will be missed, as that lady said, and I'm honoured that I've got a slot for the first time
on the last show.
Yeah. Very honoured.
Well, look, John, I suppose the concern from everybody is mortgage rates are rising, the cost of living is crippling people, they only have X amount of money in their bank, and it's trying to budget it all. Has it become impossible?
Not really, because, you know, you can only do what you have. And, you know, the old saying, Niall, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. And, you know, you can't get blood from a stone. If you don't have it, you can't do it. What you have to do when you've done a budget and you look at the expenditure that you've got, really ask yourself two questions. Number one is, the first one is, do I need it? And the second one is there a better or cheaper alternative? And then if that expenditure is exceeding still your income for that same month or averaged out, then you've got really three choices. You've got to either earn more, cut costs, or prioritize. And that's why over the last 5 years, 300,000 people actually stopped paying their health insurance because they simply couldn't afford it.
I mean, I know, as you say, you know, you got to cut your cloth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So something has to give. Now, we have seen interest rates rising. I don't know what the prediction is. Although somebody said to me this morning, I think they're the highest interest rates we've ever had. And I said, well, actually, no, I had a mortgage back in 1991. And then in the mid-90s, if I remember rightly, it went to 16%, which was bonkers. Do you remember?
Absolutely. But it actually, during the period, I think in even the 80s, there was one kind of week where it went up to 100%.
Wow.
Yeah. But on the reverse of that, though, was that if you had money in an account, you got 100% as well.
Yeah, of course.
They
don't
translate or reflect in the current deposit rates, because while the ECB has gone up, and unfortunately the bad news is that there's another two rises to come, so expect another 1% on those rates by May anyway. They're not being reflected in the rates on the deposit, which is a disgrace. I mean, Bank of Ireland made a big hullabaloo about the fact that they've moved their kind of regular saver account, which is 0.25%, to 0.75% by 0.5%. And they did a big fanfare, you know, and that's even before, Niall, their tax has taken off. So that brings it down to about just over 0.5%.
Well, always remember one thing, the banks will never lose money. That's for absolutely sure. So we're going to see two more rises before the end of the year, and both of those will they be a 0.25% or a 0.5%
each? 0.5% each. Okay. So you're looking at about 1% more added on.
That's a lot of money on a 1,500 quid mortgage per month. You know, that's a fair whack of money, isn't it?
It's not only a fair whack, but if you go back even to, say, 2007, 2008, I remember when tracker mortgages were all the rage, and suddenly it went up by 0.25%. And then 1 year later, 12 consecutive 0.25%. It was up 3%. People were screaming to get out of trackers. They're now getting out of trackers. In fact, some of my clients from even before Christmas were moving it out of trackers into fixed rates. The fixed rates, you can get a 2.05 fixed rate for 4 years at Christmas, last Christmas.
Okay, so this is another question people have at the moment. Fixed rates are always a gamble because, and by the way, the bank is taking a bit of a gamble on those ones too, because they're going to predict the future and you're trying to predict the future. I mean, if you're buying a house right now at this very moment in time and you're getting a mortgage, should you go for the fixed rate or should you gamble on the variable that it's going to go up a little bit more over the next year or two and then pop back down again?
Well, I would always want security of payment, and by going for fixed means that you don't have to worry about the ups and downs of what that rate may be. And the fact that the interest rates, I mean, the only tool that countries have in terms of inflation is the interest rate of that country. So that's the only thing they can tinker around with. So if inflation by the middle of this year is still not curbed, you can be sure that the interest rates will continue to rise. So I would much prefer to have a fixed rate, no matter how kind of bad it is. And they have unfortunately risen since Christmas as well, but not in the same proportion as the standard variable rates. Mm.
In relation to trying to, well, I suppose if you just don't have enough money, you can, of course, go to MABS and they will obviously try and help you out. I mean, it's always advisable to pay off what you can, because ultimately you will end up paying it. Are the banks nowadays, are they still as cooperative as they were maybe going back during COVID?
Well, that's a very good word you're using, because that's precisely the words that the banks use. If you're not cooperating, that they can then, you know, send the kitchen sink after you. The word is uncooperating. I am a personal insolvency practitioner, Niall, which you may not know. I'm one of 114 in the country. So
you're a pip.
I'm a pip. I'm the go-between between debtors and creditors. And I've seen the horrors and some of the good stories, but a lot of horrors where people are simply, you know, through no fault of their own, they got caught with the recession, and the houses that they bought were reduced by 60% in some cases. And suddenly they've lost their job, or they've had to take a bath in their income. And suddenly they can't afford the high mortgage they've now got. So that's been happening over the last 15 years. There are people to this day who are still suffering. And MABS, I think everybody, by the way, who works in the MABS office is a saint, because they're constantly dealing with people's misery on a daily basis. And they mm-hmm. have great patience, and they listen, and they help, and they're great support.
They're almost like counsellors as well as financial advisors. Yeah,
absolutely right. Mm-hmm. But there's a solution, though. I will say this. Anybody listening to this program, and they're in that situation of debt. I mean, there were, in 2015, the Personal Insolvency Act was passed, and there were three kind of areas that they looked at: the debt relief notices. So anybody with no assets, but they've got debts of up to 35,000, that can be wiped away. And you have to go to a MABS office for that. And as I say, they're very, very helpful in those MABS offices.
But I mean, I suppose the important thing, John, to tell people is you can't pay what you don't have.
Exactly.
And nobody can force you to pay what you don't have.
Well, I mean, I was on actually prime time last week about a certain hurling gentleman.
Oh yeah, yeah, that story.
story, which has got traction. You know, there's definitely no such situation of preferential treatment for people who are celebrities. And but that's a pity.
I'm joking.
The elephant in the room, though, is how in the name of God do these people get that kind of money? Because the income would not have warranted at the time. Mm-hmm. So that's the question. That's possibly a reason why.
I'm not totally familiar with the ins and outs of the story. So when was that money given out?
Oh, that was given out, prior to, say, 2007.
Okay, well, but if you go back, I remember 2005, 2006, the height of the Celtic Tiger.
Yeah.
Sure, I was getting letters in the door being pre-approved for unsecured loans of 20,000 euro that I didn't even want.
Exactly,
every time I went into the bank, I had my own business at the time, and every time I went to the bank, sure, the bank manager was offering me tea and scones, you know what I mean? I mean, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was an easy time to get money. You had no problem. I mean, they used to have, especially abroad, you know, if you were going to Spain or Portugal or even the Eastern Bloc countries, and you wanted to buy an apartment there, there were three prices. There was one for the locals, there was one for the foreigners, and then there's one for the Irish.
So I remember a mate of mine going in for a mortgage, and he went into a mortgage broker. So I won't say which one it was, and this is like whatever 20 years ago or so. And the mortgage broker said, "Have you got your P60 there?" And he goes, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And he goes, "Oh yeah, 55,000. I need to have 70 on that before I could give you this loan for the mortgage, right?" And he goes, "Well, what'll I do?" And he says, "I'll just turn my head. You just change it, okay?"
Oh no, that's what was happening at the time. I did hear of some cases that where it did happen. Yes, I can actually hold my head up, because at the end of the day, Niall, it was that person had to pay the mortgage, not the mortgage broker.
Absolutely, the people weren't being stress tested at all. They were being given mortgages they couldn't afford.
Absolutely, yeah.
Were they calling them pulse mortgages? Because the idea was you got approved once you had a pulse. I think the important message is now we've got energy crisis. The energy bills are still high, even though, by the way, the cost of energy has come down wholesale. They're not passing it on to the customers. The gas prices still really haven't come down very much. The electricity hasn't come down at all, even though the price of oil has dropped to most of our electricity produced by oil. So we're really not reducing these prices. So people are still paying ridiculous bills. So what do they do if they're getting bills in, $2,000 bills or $1,000 bill or whatever it is, and they can't afford it?
Well, again, if they can't afford it, it is really back to the provider, number one, to say you can't afford it, and they have a kind of a template letter that goes out saying if you can't afford your bill, you can talk to MABS, you can go to St. Vincent de Paul, you can go all these places.
They cut you off? Have we still got that moratorium where they can't?
Only, you know, if you're not communicating with them, the worst thing you can do is not communicate.
So just don't hide the bill in the drawer.
So you don't ignore letters, ever. And including that from your bank, you know, there's always a solution. If you've lost your job or you've lost a partner, for instance, or you've separated and you're suddenly in a house that really two people need to put their incomes together to afford, then you've got to tell your bank, your credit union, or your supplier, electricity supplier, gas supplier, so that they have at least some kind of a structure in place to try and help you along. They may, you know, give you a moratorium for a few months until you find yourself back on your feet. They'll give you maybe a couple of months then to start making some kind of payments, even, you know,
reduce payments,
payment, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and some of the questions, by the way, coming in, and by the way, just to let people know as well, Money Doctors 23, it's a must read. I know that's a book that you're...
Actually, funny enough, you know, there's an extra book in it, a mini book. It's 150 pages. The whole book is about 450 pages. But that mini book is called Teenagers, You and Your Money. And it was actually kind of inspired by my own son. I have three kids, two daughters and a son. That son never failed an exam in his life. He went to Rocky, went to, you know, B&L and UCD, and he did the Masters in Finance, Chartered Accountant. He's in corporate finance now. But at 19 years of age, he was in UCD, and he says, "Dad, what's an overdraft?" So I said, there's something wrong with the system where you go through all these colleges and pass all these exams, and you come out with a question like that.
I don't think kids nowadays are able to manage money the way we did when we were younger, because they don't see money anymore. It's like just, "Oh, Dad, Revolut me money there, will you? Revolut me 15. So they don't actually see it anymore. Speaking of Revolut, by the way, we'll have a couple of questions. We were only talking about Bank of Ireland this morning because Bank of Ireland, of course, their app was down, I think, this morning for a period of time, or they were offline for a period of time this morning. Do you know why the major banks in this country, like Bank of Ireland or AIB, their apps are like something from 2002 or 5? I mean, people still look at them and they're struggling to see what transactions are what. I mean, you get a number, what's that, 4392? I don't even know what that was. And yet this company can come in from nowhere, like many other of the new companies around, like Revolut, and give these apps which are so easy to use, so transparent,
detailed. They're the leader now in that market. I mean, they've got 2 million customers. They've got 200,000 young people under 18. And they've stolen a march, I have to say, left, right and centre, not just in the way you can, you know, instantly transfer money and, Revolut me. It's nearly become a word now at this stage.
It's like Google, isn't it?
Google me. But they've also then, their foreign exchange, I mean, 2-3 years ago, I believe it or not, I was in Russia, and for 6 days in March 2020, which last year, one of those daughters brought me to London, and I was stopped in Stansted and said, "What were you doing in Russia?" Anyway, going back to the Russia, I was going to St. Petersburg and Moscow, and I stopped in Dublin to get some rubles. They had none. I went to Paris, and I got 55 rubles per euro, and then I went to St. Petersburg. I went to one of these exchange currency shops again, and I got 54 rubles per euro, and then took out my Revolut card in St. Petersburg, I stuck it into an ATM, and I got 72.9 rubles per euro from my Revolut card. I said, "That's it. I'm going to put all my, you know, the money goes into the Revolut. In fact, it transfers automatically."
No matter, and that's why I use it, because, you know, I spend a lot of time going back and forward to Belfast now, and I find it for the foreign exchange rather than using my Bank of Ireland account. By the way, somebody texts in and says, "Niall, the AIB app is great." Well, whatever, okay. I've the Bank of Ireland one, and it's just so clunky. I believe it looks outdated. I don't know why they all can't be as detailed. You know, when you just look at your transactions, so you know exactly what you spent and where you spent it. I don't know why they can't all be that easy to use.
Yeah, well, I can tell you one thing, Niall, that Revolut must be losing money on the foreign exchange. I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, I don't know how, because they're making no commission on it whatsoever.
No commission at all, yeah.
Yeah. Final question, some of the questions people are sending. Do you foresee a recession coming down the tracks? Well, there is a recession, kind of, at the moment.
There is technically a recession going on right now, but it's not as we know it. And I can see interest rates rising a little bit, certainly, over the next... but by the end of next year, middle of next year, you'll see interest rates start to decrease.
Okay. So and property prices, you know, they're the highest they've been in a long, well, since the Celtic Tiger.
Well, they've stalled now at this stage.
Will they drop down, or do you think they've stabilised?
I think they've stabilised. I think they have stalled at the moment. You know, you can't, with interest rate rising, normally what actually happens is there's less buyers, less mortgage, you know,
approvals.
Applicants.
Yeah.
And therefore, because there's less people in the market looking to buy, means prices technically goes down because they want to try and attract more buyers in. But it's not happening. Not
okay.
yet.
Well, that's because we still have a supply and demand issue, I suppose.
Yeah.
All right, well, listen, it's wonderful to talk to you. The book is called Money Doctors 23. If you want to go to moneydoctors.ie, you can get all the information you want. There's me money sound effect there, just in case you want it. John Lowe of Money Doctors, thank you very much indeed.
Congratulations again, Alan. I'm actually honoured to be on this programme. Honoured. Thank you very much.
All right. You too, John. See you. Bye. Bye. There you go, John Lowe.
Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.